Are we recording yet? There's a big red record button.
Big red record button. Ooh. Should be the giveaway.
All right. Well, that's okay. So I don't have headphones on, so it's all very good. This is the thing I used to like about it.
Doesn't sound different when you're recording.
No, but it sounds different when you're talking, because I used to like being able to... It's like you're crystal clear. It's really lovely.
I've never understood why people who are doing podcasts in the same room wear headphones.
I have them on
to make sure.
You have them on to keep, to keep the but whenever you see it's people just, who are like the they've got an audio engineer off to their off camera, like, and whatever, and then they've got two people.
It's like it genuinely feels. Maybe I should have hearing aids. It just genuinely feels like everything's just that wee bit nicer sounding, crisper, more real.
That's really I think it's just because you can turn yourself up.
Yeah, I think.
Well, anyway, we're back in the room.
Hey!
Who said we can't do a regular podcast? Once a year is pretty regular.
It's like my boils.
And that voice you can hear is John McRae, who's, again, a regular guest at this point.
50% of all podcasts we've done have now got John McRae at them.
But we'll just go cue the theme tune.
Is that it? Was the theme tune? This is why you need headphones.
You don't really. I'll just nod at you.
All right, then. Should we introduce ourselves? Because people will have forgotten.
Well, anyone who's listened to this show hopefully knows who we are.
Do I sound different? Do I sound different now?
Sadly, no.
They took a tooth out of my head. I went to the dentist. When was it? A few weeks ago. And the dentist, he sat me down. I went and I got a toothache. I went into the dentist. And the dentist, first of all, I'm outside the thing. And the dentist goes, oh, by the way, we're going private now. So you've got to decide whether you're going to pay for it privately or whatever. I go, what? And then I went in. The dentist went, yeah, you need that one out. This tooth. It wasn't the one that was hurting. He just went, that one needs to come out. I went, okay. And then he took it. This is 9:30 in the morning. He took it out, just yanked it out. And suddenly I'm missing a tooth and I'm walking around. And it's sort of right at the back. So it's not noted. It's not visible. But it makes it feel like my mouth isn't sealing anymore. It's like I can no longer seal the noises in my mouth.
I hate to inform you, but the noises have been escaping your mouth for a long time.
It just sounds weird or different. Okay. Which is why I wanted the headphones. Well, okay, if you're sure.
But you said it was a couple of weeks ago.
Oh no, this was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, you got to fill in this form to decide whether you're going private. I'm still deciding whether I'm going private or not.
Cause what's the advantage of going private? Less money?
Less money for me. No, the advantage,
disadvantages only.
There are no advantages to going private except for the dentist, who gets more money, and also you don't have to wait just as long to see the dentist. Yeah,
Do you have to pay more money?
Of course you have to pay. If you're private, you have to pay. You pay monthly. You pay a monthly fee.
But the tooth's already out now.
I've been doing this for years. I've been paying monthly.
they're not going to put it back in.
No. But that's the thing. I was like,
it seems he has more teeth.
Oh, I have a lot more teeth. And the thing is, he did a few things then, and then after it was like, now I've got to decide whether I want to go private or not, and you have to pay monthly £12 or something.
Is that all?
Yeah, but here's the thing. He goes, it's monthly £12. Then he turned around very cheerfully and he went, and you get 15% discount. And I went, I don't know what on.
Right, well, I pay...
15% of what?
I pay monthly like 20-something pounds.
Yeah.
And I get anything I want done. I get all you can eat dentistry.
Can you do it naked? Brilliant.
The only thing I have to pay for is if they're capping my teeth, the lab fees or something.
Yeah.
But I can get a root canal, I can get... filling.
Well, that sounds like a bargain.
It is. I'm always disappointed when I go and they don't. And they're just like, your teeth are great.
Could have a root canal anyway.
Yeah. Have a wee dig around.
I'm paying for it.
But hold on, you still haven't explained this private thing. So you go private. Okay, so you go private and you pay them money. Yeah. What if you don't go private?
If you don't go private, they'd basically say, yeah, well, your NHS, which means if you want an appointment, it's going to take 8 months.
Plus,
yeah, but you need to go to the dentist
really
once.
Actually want
you don't need to go to the dentist once every 6 months, and they've already taken the tooth out.
No, you get new toothaches.
Yeah, but realistically, if you're looking after your teeth, you don't need to go once.
In the entirety of my life, I have not had just the one toothache.
No, but if you go every 6 months, in theory, you should be good.
Yeah, if you go every 6 months, but you can't go every 6 months.
All right, go every 8 months.
Because if you're not private, you won't get that appointment. You can only get an
appointment.
No, but when you can't, I can't book in advance saying I'm going to have a toothache.
This seems like, I think, this feels like you're getting scammed. I don't
trust. The other disadvantage is if you don't go private, they don't administer any anesthetic. Because you can't afford it.
Then. I like Ron's. I've won. Where's your dentist? Is he good?
It's pretty close to your house.
Is it?
Yeah.
£28 a month, is it?
It's just at the top. It's on the Ormore Road. It's maybe £24 or something.
Okay, because that's not much. Because you pay £12 a month, and then they kind of go, and you get 2 free appointments for that. And it's like, but only for a checkup. If we have to do any work, the work is going to be, it's like £80 to remove a tooth is the normal fee for tooth removal.
Yeah, I used to be sore about paying it every month. And then I realized when I saw bills other people had for dentistry, like for unexpected dentistry.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't even think about it.
Yeah, that's where I want to go. I don't want to think about it.
But anyway, look.
But I don't want to pay a certain amount and then have to pay more anyway.
No, this isn't
dentistry cast. Look, John's here. How are you, John?
John!
Yay! I'm all right, thanks very much. Yay! How's yourself?
I'm not too bad.
What's a dentist like where you are?
I'm going through the same thing, Paul.
Are you?
Private, unprivate. You know? I think we've ended up going private just so that we...
I tried
don't
to steer
to
it away.
I tried to steer it away. Paul dragged it back. He can't leave his teeth alone.
You reach a certain age, is all you care about.
Yeah. Well, when you came into the house there, you just handed me a copy of Soul Plumber, but what else has been going on? I mean, I know, PJ, you've got your...
This year?
The book, the thing you did with John
Rappian. It's been so long since we've been on that it's hard to kind of... For a quick catch-up, there'd be like... what came out this month was the Fantastic Folklore.
Yeah, the Folklore.
Called, yeah, which I should have bought a copy along with me.
You should have.
I should have. They only sent me one copy of the book.
One
copy.
That's your comp?
That's my comp, one. So I don't have any copies. But Forbidden Planet down in Belfast has a load of them, apparently.
Oh, that doesn't do me much good.
It's a really nice look. I mean, you've seen it, haven't you seen it, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great
lovely
book.
It's a lovely, it's beautiful graphic job. Design. It's a hardback. You'd love it, actually.
Yes, no, I'm definitely going to pick it up.
And it's really nice. So that's good. And what else came out? Oh, that Skulduggery Pleasant book I did came out as well. Last month, I think.
I'm giving you a blank look about this. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, it's called Skulduggery Pleasant. Is a not a children's book. It's YA book, I suppose. A kind of skeleton detective with magical powers. There's like 14 books in this. It was wildly popular. I think in total 6 million copies of the book have sold. The actual books, rather than the graphic novels. So this is the first graphic novel in that series. So it's a wildly popular book series. It is weird when you're suddenly exposed to an audience. Like, you know this. You do stuff for 2080. The audience know who you are and they know what you're doing and they buy the book because you're on it. If you do a book where people go, oh, that guy's on that book, so I'm going to buy that book. People very rarely, unless I suppose you're on Spider-Man or something, where they go, I don't know who this artist is. Why are they drawing them like that? That's not what I'm expecting. So it's very rarely on the books that I do, my audience don't know who I am. You know, they normally know what to expect and they know what they're getting. Whereas this is the first book I've done where there is a kind of expectation of, you know, of something that isn't necessarily.
Have there
me.
Been previous?
No, this is the first
one.
I think there was one comic, which was a short little comic in an inside a book as part of a book. And there's been different artists doing covers and stuff. And so this is the first comic book. And of course, he's got a massive fan base and they've all got their own fan art and they're all doing their own thing. And they are, they're all expecting different stuff. And then, so you start reading the reviews, and the reviews are good, and then you start seeing the fan stuff, and the fan stuff is like, why does the character look like that? And it's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, guys, this is what you're getting. So it's
don't
very
read
odd.
The comments.
I know. Exactly. And it struck me, there's a weird sort of, not necessarily in Skulduggery Pleasant, but in other things where people are a real fan of something and then they hate everything that comes out about it. It's like, I love this character so much, but why is it always so shit? And you're like, well, why do you like it then?
Yeah.
What is the thing you like about it? So I've got that came out, and Lion and the Eagle came out this year as well, I think.
Oh, yeah, but that's a fantastic book.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, Lion and the Eagle came out, which is the only thing I've got. There's a comic scene awards thing that's on, and it's nominated on Best Original Graphic Novel, strictly speaking, not an original graphic novel, which is great, it's fine, but people like Garth stuff, so and war stuff, and that's good. But also, very annoyed was they also have most entertaining social media present. I didn't even get a look in, nothing. Really fucking furious.
Can't win them all.
Genuinely annoyed about that.
Why? Who?
Because Rob Williams is on there, and I love Rob. Rob's my mate, but I'm more entertaining on Twitter than he is.
Is he nominated?
On the entertaining media's personality.
Who else is on there?
Gail Simone.
Oh, well, that's
some of the usual faces.
Gail's blocked me for years. And I don't think it's anything to do with me. I think she follows some block list and somebody else has blocked me.
Okay.
Because I've never said.
I mean, you can be quite. You can be quite the contrarian online sometimes.
Do you know what it is? It's all that Star Wars stuff you started spouting a year ago.
No, that's we'll leave that alone. John, what about yourself? Last time you were here, I think you were recovering from long COVID, or
I'm still recovering. You're still recovering from long COVID. Yeah,
that's what it's same. Long is in the name.
It's very long.
So it's just over 2 years now. I've had it, but I'm muddling along. I'm better than I was, so that's something. But still,
say that, it'd be great.
I'm operating at about 70% of what I was before long COVID, and I'm still sleeping a lot. You know, so and I maybe get 4 to 4 hours work a day done if I'm lucky.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's the standard where I'm at. And as far as stuff I've done this year goes, I know I did a Carnage book for Marvel, one of their What Ifs, with Larry Hama writing it, which was actually quite cool. I was quite excited to work on a book with Larry Hama. That was a fanboy moment for me. And then I groveled to him to see if he would maybe sort of give me a G.I. Joe story, you know, because I did a couple of G.I. Joe stories when it was for British Marvel Action Force. Did a Snake Eyes and a Storm Shadow for them right at the start of my career. And I was thinking it'd be nice, since this is towards the end of my career, it would be nice to do a little top and tail. And but he said it would be up to... Who've got the license now? I've forgotten.
Is it IDW?
It's Kirkman's lot. It's Skybound.
Oh, yes, Skybound.
Skybound.
Yeah. Skybound are rumoured to be buying Paramount.
Pardon?
Buying Paramount?
Yeah.
What? The lot or something?
Yeah. I'm going to look it up.
That seems insane.
Nuts.
I mean, it's a although it's a weird time.
Well, how much money does Robert Kirkman have?
I mean, I guess he has a lot
of money.
Yeah.
Oh, I would say so. Yeah, quite a lot.
But enough to buy a Paramount.
Yeah, no, that does seem.
I mean, if Paramount for up for sale, I feel like Apple or Amazon are probably. The top two on the list, rather than
a multimedia conglomerate or an oil baron.
Maybe I'm talking about this.
Paul's found nothing to back up his claim here.
God, I'd love to see the story that planted that little seed in your head.
Maybe it's one of
Are Paramount buying Skybound? that would seem more likely.
Someone's buying someone. That's all I know.
All right, okay. Anyway, that didn't come to pass either, the G.I. Joe story. So I'm still working on Dead Eyes, I guess. You know, that's really it. I'm plodding away on that in the background, hoping that one day Image will decide to put it out.
Really? You're just piling up issues at this point, are you?
Well, I mean, piling it up sounds like I'm producing a lot of work, but I think I've done...
PJ's got the truth here for us.
Skydance are rumored to be buying Paramount.
Well, that makes more sense.
In my head, they're the same company.
Well, they're very much not.
Definitely not. That.
But yes, it's a strange time.
Well, yeah, but that's less strange.
All right. Quite a lot less.
They're
strange.
Not. They're not related.
No.
I mix them.
Skydance was started by Larry Ellison's son. Larry Ellison was one of the billionaires who owned Microsoft or whatever.
Oracle. Yeah. It was Oracle.
And basically, he gave a few million to his son to go and start a movie company.
Go and start one, son.
And then I think the last thing they put out that was successful was Top Gun Maverick or something like that.
Okay.
So he's got a few quid.
Yeah,
one was quite successful, wasn't it?
That's the sort of thing you have the money around to buy a movie studio afterwards.
Wish I had rich parents. Sick.
I mean, there's rich parents and then there's obscenely rich parents.
But yes, sir, you were saying about your progress on Dead Eyes.
So I've maybe done about 4.5 issues out of the 5-issue arc this next arc is meant to be. But, you know, it's slow going for Jerry and me, basically because we're doing it we're just working away on it. And
I mean, I'm without going into too much if you don't want it, what's the issue with Image?
I'm not even getting it.
The shaking of the head's
It's too huge a headache, and also it leads into an area where I am actually... I've signed an NDA because I can't talk about it due to...
No dicks allowed.
Yeah. due to settling out of court with...
Yeah, that's probably also mentioned in the NDA. Not even going to mention the NDA.
Oh, you are.
What about you, Ron? What you bumped to?
I've been up to the usual stuff.
What about inner voice? Tell me about inner voice.
Well, it's called inside voice.
Inside voice? Well, I have. You can
well,
already
PJ doesn't
see
have an inner voice. So
by Skydance.
No, I've just been plugging away doing videos here and there for people, and you know, the odd bit of podcast production. But nothing too exciting.
Podcasts have got big. So I was talking to my son about this in the car on the way up, saying we were one of the first podcasty people in Belfast.
I'd say we were probably one of the very first.
Do you remember whenever we started doing it? I'd say two or three of the biggest podcasts from Northern Ireland right now got started by asking me and you for advice.
Yeah.
And we sold them a bunch of kit. And
did you
set up? I don't want to say because it feels like I'm bad with them. Not they've done very well.
No.
But yeah, they
and
were.
Also, there's also something to be said for. It's not a tale of if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't. Exist.
No, of course not. Of course not.
I know that.
No, they'd be recording on two bits of string and baked bean tins if they get
something they bought off someone else. Yeah. That's all. That's the only difference. That
it's just
make
it's just
story.
Funny. It's I
well,
think
the,
it's just funny to
see. In the last couple of years, it seems like the Northern Ireland comedy podcast scene has
seems
exploded.
I was talking to Nathan, who is now 19, and I was saying we started this a long time ago, and I think your man Todd Shane wanted to come on the
Todd podcast. Shane.
Todd Shane. Shane Todd. Yeah.
He's buying Paramount.
Yeah.
He wanted to come on the podcast. I think there was talk of him coming on.
He did at a time, a long time ago.
But that was a long time ago.
Yeah. This guy.
He's a comedian, Northern Ireland comedian, but the Northern Ireland comedy scene's got huge. I mean, I'm talking.
He's a Northern Ireland comedian who can sell out the Grand Opera House five nights in a row and then also do a night at the SSE while he's at it.
Yeah. He's just back. He did 26 dates across the US with Kevin Hart. He's so young, it's nauseating.
Yeah, he's very young, isn't he? Yeah. Another one, like, just because he got no kids, I think that's what it is.
He's got COVID right now, though.
No, oh, really? Kids, oh, has he?
Everybody's got fucking COVID right now.
Well, I was just speaking to one of his comedy cohorts earlier on today. And
yeah.
He said that he's stuck in America with COVID and he's not flying back till he's not got it.
He's a young baby. Yeah. At home, so
oh, he does have kids then.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Oh,
new kids though.
New kids. Oh, yeah. Anyone could do anything
there
with
goes
new kids.
Career.
New kids is fucking easy. It's old kids. That's a fucking horror. That's a horror. What about you, Scott? What have you been doing? Coloring still?
I've just been coloring stuff.
Coloring TV and
film. We built a new studio just around the corner from the old studio, so
another
we've
one?
Moved in there.
Okay,
which is very nice. And yeah, we've just been plugging away. Doing
bigger things, smaller
fun
things,
stuff.
Different
bigger
things. Bigger things.
Yeah, I'm doing a film in the new year with Christoph Waltz and Lucy Liu, which is going to be fun.
He says that like he's doing it with them. They make the film.
They've made it already.
And then
yeah,
there's no with you.
But it doesn't.
I mean, you're involved. I'm not saying you're not involved.
Do you think somewhere they're having this conversation with? I'm doing this film with Scott. You know Scott.
Everybody knows Scott.
Everybody knows Scott.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. And yeah, we've done some stuff for big stuff for BBC, World on Fire and Wreck and when was the last time we did this?
I would say 8-9 months ago.
No, maybe fuck off. It wasn't this year at all. Definitely
right,
not.
So when you say I'll fuck off, you mean it was longer ago than that?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, there's no way we did one in 2023.
We did one post COVID, just after COVID.
I think this is maybe the second one we've done in this house.
And Ron's been here for, you've been here for three years. Yeah.
3 years.
I think I've done both of them.
Yeah. I think you have. Yeah.
I'll say you're going to host the next one.
Yeah.
I may as well.
Yeah, because we've only been in the new house for 2.5 years.
Oh,
as soon as Ron moved in around the corner from me, I moved.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm getting out of here.
I hadn't quite moved into my house yet.
No, you weren't in the new house.
Nope. Well, I've been in there a year now.
Is your dad living in the garage?
My dad is living, I don't know where he is. I don't
know. Is he in the house?
No, I'm only joking. He is in Newcastle.
That's a relief. I was worrying about your dementia kicking
in. No, it's my dementia is perfectly fly. I wouldn't know. How would I know if I've got dementia at this point? I'd be like, oh yeah, skybound. But
was there not? He was going to move into the garage.
No. We have a garage which has been converted into a little bed sit.
Yeah.
And he wanted to move into the garage, but we did not want him to.
Yeah, of course.
No, he's still up in a flat up in Newcastle.
So. Oh, right, okay.
And I thought we'd see more of him, but we don't. So he comes down once in a blue moon. You'll get a phone call saying, can I stay there tonight? And I think, well, he must miss us.
He got a date?
See the kids. It's not you. Well, the one time he did, but usually it's because he wants to see his mate somewhere else.
All right.
He wants to come down, stay, see his mate. And then go back to bed and then go home again.
Is it weird to have your dad using your house as a knocking shop?
No, his mate, not like...
Yeah, he said it was one time.
One time he was supposed to go on a date and he didn't. No.
No.
It's not weird. Because it was poor Bobby. Dad's house before, for a while. It was his house for a while.
Remember the podcast we did with him and we were never able to release?
Oh, no, it's really annoying.
You did a podcast?
Oh, my dad came down for a podcast, yeah. Because I thought it'd be funny. And it was
really funny. But the audio recorder fucked up and the audio was so bad we couldn't put it out.
For legal reasons, it was probably for the best.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Astonishing stories about his time as a petty thief of the NHS.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Did you?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
What particular incidents were you thinking of?
Stories that ended with, she was 16, but she was going on 30.
No, he was stealing supplies from the janitorial office. Yeah.
He used to get they had, I can't remember if it was blankets or something, but some sort of linen that they would cut into squares and then they would sell on as J cloths.
Yeah,
you realize you can't now transmit this episode.
Oh, no, that's fine. Nobody knows.
Did we have statute of limitations
at this point now?
Yeah.
There's a whole league. I mean, there's some funny stories. There's a story about my dad who was working in a shop with my uncle and they were robbed. Guy came on with a balaclava on, robbed the place, and then the next day or a few days later, my dad got on a bus and he saw the guy and he recognized him because even though comics would have you convinced that just putting a mask on means you would never recognize the person, you'd recognize almost anyone. Like I'm pretty sure you would. So my dad recognized the guy, and then the guy recognized my dad and he goes, "Do I know you?" And my dad goes, I drank up, and then he mentioned some loyalist club because he knew the guy was a loyalist.
Yeah, yeah.
So he mentioned, he goes, I've probably seen you up there. That was at the end of it. Then my dad got off in Boston Scarborough.
Was it the hideout?
The hideout, yeah. Some wild stories of Belfast. I mean, it was a fun, but it was all lost.
Good time.
Because Ron had yet to acquire the skill set.
No, I just used the wrong card. It wasn't fast enough.
Okay, so, then. So anyway, there we go. So what have you, so this is coming up to the end of the year. Have you done anything exciting this year?
Absolutely not.
No.
Nothing.
What?
Really?
What?
Oh, let me tell. Oh, there's other things I've been doing which I haven't really talked about.
What? I mean, you know, the reason for this podcast existing is always self-evident. When you get about 20 minutes in, it's just he just wants to tell people.
Have you done anything exciting? No, I have. Come here to tell
you. If you'd said yes,
I would have asked you what it was.
But I didn't.
Started writing this year, trying to write.
You've been writing for ages.
I know, but not like I started writing a little zine thing called A4, which is it's got short stories. It's like an A4 sheet of paper, and you can fold it up, and it's like a little stand, so it's its own little. It's just designed to be printed and folded, and it's a nice little fun thing. And there are 7 little short stories on it, and they're all kind of little micro stories, little nano stories. So that's a fun thing.
That's a nice little thing.
It is so, very cool.
Yeah. And some of the stories are really, there's one little story I wrote, which is, she ghosted him, he ghosted her, and they haunted each other for the rest of their lives. That's a nice little short story.
It's lovely.
That's a lovely story. It's like a romance-y thing. But the thing, I was also at the same time.
What do you think romance is? Just As an aside.
I mean, to the best of my knowledge. So there's that. And I bought crackers as well. So there's that. I've been doing that. But I kind of come this month, I sort of ran out of ideas. I was just like, the last one I did was a bit more ambitious than previous ones. It was like, I wanted to do like a cowboy, a weird cowboy special. So I kind of started writing some cowboy stories. And that was kind of, they were more than throwaway ideas. They were like, there was little plots and things. And then I've just exhausted my brain. And I just, turns out there's nothing left. The 37 stories that I've written are all the stories I've ever had in my head ever. And now they're all just rinsed out of me.
You sure that wasn't the tooth being pulled? They've drained right out of my mouth.
And then the other thing I was doing, this thing called Null Space, which is a weekly webcomic thing written by a variety of writers. I know a bunch of sci-fi writers, for the most part, who haven't done comics before. And I was in a kind of mailing group with them. And I said, I'd like to do, this would be a fun thing to do, a weekly one-page comic strip if you want to write. Knowing full well, they'd all bite your hand off because they want to do comics for some inexplicable reason because they haven't done comics before. Yeah. And so they're all, yeah, we'd love to do that. And I was thinking, well, they'll bring their audience and I'll have my audience and they'll just keep coming to me. It'll be great. It's not really the way it's worked out, but it's, you know, it's a fun little thing. I get to do different art styles and things with each one. So I've been doing that for a while as well. So there.
That's nice. Two things I've been doing. That's nice.
But the weird thing is I did these two separate things because I couldn't, in my head, I was thinking, I want to write and draw my own stuff. And every time I thought about it, I couldn't do it. I couldn't write and draw something. So I thought, I'll write some stuff. And then another part of my brain went, why don't you draw some stuff for other people? and it's only when it, like, I got to a point about 4 months into it, I was thinking, oh, I could have just been writing my own stuff and drawing my own stuff.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. So
nah, you had to go through the process.
I went through the same thing.
Did you?
Said you're an idiot.
Fuck you. And I've been waiting on... And then, do you know Procreate?
The app for
drawing on things. Procreate released this new thing called Procreate Dreams, which is an app for animation. And I thought, like every artist I know, I thought, oh, when this comes out, I'll be really good at animation. Turns out I'm not really good at animation. Also,
animation's really hard.
Animation's got it's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah.
As much work as you think drawing comics are, animation's 10 times as much. And I thought, it's kind of like, I have a couple of these little stories. I thought, well, I have one about, it's a cowboy story. It's a guy goes hunting for a creature. It's a sheriff and by the light of the moon, and the sheriff badge glints and he realizes he's given his position away. So he puts the badge in his pocket and he goes hunting for the thing. The thing attacks him. He shoots it several times, does nothing. The thing chomps at him, bites him, and then dies. It chokes on his silver badge. There you go. A nice little western-y.
And you wanted to animate this?
And I was going
to
animate it.
Oh,
and
you crazy bastard.
And I was thinking, oh no, this is a lot harder. Than
like, 2 weeks working, the sheriff's just all of a sudden got his badge.
I know. This stuff you think, oh, this will be, I know. I'll open up with the moon and then we'll pan down and we'll see the trees and then the wolf will howl and that'll be really cool. I thought, well, just one drawing, that's easy enough. And then you realise once you need the wolf to howl, it's like, oh, fuck that. That's 24 drawings for a wolf to go, no. Fucking idiot.
The real secret is you draw two drawings and then you get a bunch of Korean animators to fill in all
of them.
Yeah. I don't know any though, that's the only thing.
Yeah, I don't think you need to know them personally.
Just hire them.
So nobody, I mean, it's got some cool tools for changing stuff. But of course I bought it, it was £20, I bought it and I started doing some animations and I've done little line drawn animations that are just sort of animating a single line. I thought, fuck, this is easy.
Why isn't everyone doing this?
I mean, they're like, you're too young to remember it, but like in Channel 4 used to occasionally show Czechoslovakian cartoons and they're like that, with their kind of abstract shapes and stuff.
I was never so happy that I was from the West. Whenever I saw animation from the Eastern Europe, I was like, yeah, I've got Woody Woodpecker and they've got
Worker and Parasite.
So my plan was to spend Christmas doing that, but that's not what's happened. I'm not doing animation. I'm already sick to myself of the idea of it. I was like, no, I can't do this. The actual other plan was to kind of take some drawings and covers and things, and just because there's some animation you can do where you just keyframing stuff where you're moving things from one location to another.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, you could do, I did a Chimpsky for 2000 AD cover, which is kind of sentient ape sitting on a pole with the city in the background. I thought, well, you could animate that by having little flickering lights and, yeah. you know, clouds moving yeah. past and stuff. That would be nice and easy, except I couldn't find a file, and also even that's too much work. Why? Who is this for? Who is paying me for this? No one. No one is paying me for this. Why am I doing it then? I don't fucking know.
Sometimes you just have to do stuff to entertain yourself.
Yeah. It was a long period of no
drink.
Work. That's yeah. It was a long, fallow period with no work was what was
right,
really going
okay.
on. There was
okay.
a good, I mean, I've got a 5-issue thing I'm doing now for a publisher who I've forgotten the name of.
But we know it's not Vault or Boom.
No, it's not Vault or Boom.
We're trying to remember who it was in the car.
I think it's got a monkey on it. I don't know.
That work trough is about to come back again.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, every artist I know, every comic creator I know is really talking about how difficult things are at the moment. It's really tough out there.
Well, it's been rough, like with the strikes and
yeah.
whatever.
Well, the Hollywood strikes cut off a massive a crazy way of going, well, if we do 30 comics, one of them might break through and we'll sell it as a movie and we'll make a lot of money, so let's keep doing that. And then suddenly that wasn't even an option, so it's like, you know, it's just...
Yeah, it has been tough. It's been a sort of rotten old year.
Yeah. And then, of course, everyone's talking about the industry's going to collapse. It'd be great fun. Yeah.
Mark Miller's okay, though.
Mark Miller's been saying that since
the 1960s. Yeah. Mark Miller just is putting all his stuff out through Dark Horse now.
Yeah.
He's having a great time.
He's having a brilliant time. Well, the thing, what's really interesting is, because when you talk about comics, you're talking about... You're really talking about the American comic industry, and you're really talking about the direct-to-market comic shops. When you go away from that and you go into, you know, bookshops and things, it's a completely different area. I mean, there's manga, of course, still doing gangbusters, but there's also that book, what's it called? Heartstopper,
yeah.
which is so big, it's changing the approach of a lot of publishers to original graphic novels. There's publishers that wouldn't have touched them, book publishers.
Do you know Heartstopper?
I do not know Heartstopper.
It's a YA story about two gay kids, and it's made into a Netflix series.
Oh, yes, 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 I do know this,
and,
yeah.
It's massive. I mean, like, you know, it sells numbers that, you know, you can dig nearly every monthly comic that DC and Marvel put out, and it's like,
yeah.
so it's that combined.
Yeah.
Ridiculous note.
And the girl who wrote and drew it apparently went to school with my brother's girlfriend. Apparently, there you go. That's my little connection to Heartstoppers. But even when I was doing the
a near miss for her,
I know. the
career stopper.
when HarperCollins wanted to do the Skulder Grey Pleasance graphic novel. It was because of Heartstopper.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, it's a property that they know is going to sell to an audience that they know will buy comics anyway. But as a publisher, they don't do comics. So
yeah.
But they looked at Heartstopper and went, oh, we want some of that pie.
So is there plans to do more of the Skullduggery
one?
Not with
me. Oh. There are plans to do more.
They learned.
They learned. No, what do you call it? I got an email that was like... Hey, look, just to let you know, probably doing more, but not with you. But we've
staffed by pirates.
Branding. We've decided that we've got to brand it, so it's got different artists, which is grand. I don't necessarily know if I was the right artist even for that one, or whether I want to do, because you could easily become the artist on that and make a lot of money.
I could see you were heading
down that rabbit hole. What was I thinking?
I mean, who really wants consistent work over 14 books for
not
the next?
Me.
But the problem that a lot of these book publishers, they're very writer led, and that's what they know how to market.
Yeah, so. but look
at the comics industry.
Well, yeah,
it's very writer led.
It's gone that way.
But like, it's very clear when I did sign-ins for that book with Derek Landy, the writer, who's a lovely fella. But that audience was for him. That audience, even they were picking up that book, but they were there for him and the rest of his books. And
yeah,
I just happened to be there. There's quite a lot of very awkward photographs because they all wanted selfies with him, and Derek's going, "Come on into this," and I'm like, "I don't know if they want me in their photo. I don't know. In 10 years' time, they're going to look back and remember when I met my favorite astonishing author, amount
of and he brought his dad."
I don't know if anyone wants me in their photographs. That's never stopped you in the past.
Oh no, that's different. That's me getting into a photograph. That's a photo bombing thing. That's
you getting into a photograph you're not wanted in.
I keep telling my wife I should be in some of these photos.
The wedding photographs.
Yeah, yeah. So
was it you? Or your dad wore shorts to your wedding.
Dad,
what do you
dad.
Think?
I was just checking. I couldn't quite remember.
My dad wore a Northern Ireland top, was that right?
My dad, not Northern Ireland top, an Ireland top.
An Ireland top,
like a tourist would buy in Ireland.
Oh, not an Ireland football top, like one that said "I Heart Ireland."
No, a big map of Ireland on it with all the major hotspots. A white top with a big green Ireland on it, and shorts and the bluest hat. A hat so blue that it made it look like someone had drained the saturation out of the sea. That's how blue it was. It was very weird.
So you're saying he showed up at this event and made it all about himself?
Hang on. Self-awareness kicking in. Fuck you, asshole. Yes, that's what happened. So there we go. Do you want to pull a cracker?
We'll pull a cracker,
the crackers have things in them. These okay. are...
Now, are they things that you've put in, or are they just crackers?
No,
crackers?
I wanted to put things in, but I didn't get around to it. They're very cheap crackers.
I lost that one.
Happy Christmas. They have little cards on them with things, trivia and things. So,
okay,
God.
Let's hear it.
Jupiter is the fifth planet from the sun. Fact or fiction? Oh,
Jesus Christ. Fact.
Yeah, that's true. That's
nailed
true.
It.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Oh, there's conversation starters in it.
Oh, God.
Should we do these? These will be good.
We can absolutely use them, yes.
Yeah.
Scott, what is your greatest strength and why?
Oh, God. No, fuck off.
I think it's his beard.
That is some beard.
Like Samson.
That is some beard. I fear for when you shave that beard off eventually.
Oh, it's not coming off.
Are you sure? Never.
No,
what
no.
if it goes full white?
No. Oh, I don't. I can't wait for it to go full white.
Really?
Yeah. One of the most annoying things about getting older is that it's taken so long for my hair to go grey. Like, it has been going for about 5 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that really does strike me as one of the worst things about getting old.
It's so annoying because it's just peter patter.
So
like
it takes me so long to pee now. I can watch my hair go grey as it's happening.
Pubic hair.
Jesus Christ! How old are you now?
39.
Not even 40.
Do you know I broke my foot about 6 weeks ago?
Still not healed.
Still not fucking healed. Like, not even close. Not even close. I thought I was on the bottom step of the stairs.
Like Wolverine.
Thought I was on the bottom step of the stairs. I was on one up from the bottom step.
Oh,
I just stepped down as though...
You know, it's weird. I mean, I know this sounds strange, but it's really weird how... Do you know when you walk somewhere and there's like a fake step? It's like the wherever has got demarcated as a step.
Yeah.
And you... don't consciously see it, but your brain automatically tries to step over it or something.
Yeah.
It's like your legs are in control of that whole area.
Yeah.
And you're not really looking. That's
so
really
I just went to plant my foot.
Yes. I'm not sure what else that needs for me.
But for some reason, instead of my foot just being flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what would happen if the step was there. Because the height, it went underneath.
Okay.
And there was a big pop.
Oh!
And
the big pop went down.
The big, but yeah. So I didn't go to the hospital. I waited for a week.
Irish
just because
dancing falls. Did you see that post on Twitter?
No. Falls or fails?
Irish dancing falls.
Ooh.
Because there's apparently an Irish dancing contestant entering the young girls Irish dancing thing, who is a trans girl, and someone has posted that Irish dancing has fallen. Like that's a thing. Irish dancing has fallen, you know, to the Wookarati.
Oh, right. Okay.
That kind of thing. But anyway, go on.
Oh, anyway. So after about a week, I was like, it had kind of went black.
Oh.
And I was like, sure, I might go to the hospital tomorrow. So I went to minor injuries and I got a thing called an avulsion, which is where the tendons get stretched and instead of snapping, they pull the bone out.
Oh, wow.
So I got one of those. And I had one of those big, they gave me one of those big plastic boots. Mm-hmm. So I had that for six or seven weeks. And I've just taken that off and it's still not right. And then a week later, Hannah went to a roller disco and fell and broke her arm.
Oh,
and she had a full. She got a full cast.
Aye, Annette Booker, you know.
Oh yeah, you remember her breaking her elbow? Yeah,
had to have a radius of her arm chopped off.
Yeah,
because, and then the bone started growing crazy, like
weird.
Wolverine.
Yeah,
just started growing in random directions, and
she tripped on the dishwasher, didn't she? Or No.
I make her walk barefoot in the kitchen just in case she trips on anything. No, of course not.
Just trying to get away.
One of the kids. It was a kids' party in this place, which is now a gym. But they had, like, it was pitch black in the place, and they had video games for the kids to play, which was fine. But they had, like, an invisible step. There was a step in the actual room.
One of those fake steps you were just talking about?
No, this was a real step, right, okay. And it shouldn't have been there. But she was stood near the step, and Thomas, who was very young, kind of came up to her and went to hug her or pull her down or something, and she fell and landed her arm right on the corner of the step, which broke that. Whoa, horrible.
I'd have sued the bejesus. Is that why they're not a place anymore? They're a gym because you sued them and took them for everything they're worth?
No, we probably should have done, but we never did. I didn't even complain. So it's all right, we'll just get an ambulance. Fine, thank you, bye. Didn't even get discount. Should have got discount.
Hannah went to the, whenever she
I've got
fell on the rollerblades.
Pizza, so it was really fucking annoying me.
Whenever she fell on the roller boots, her friend drove her to A&E, and the girl in A&E was like, right, you're in the right place, but... You're gonna be here all night. You're gonna be here for at least 10 hours, and before you get seen, if I were you, I'd go home and go to bed, and come back in the morning and go to minor injuries.
Yeah.
So she came home. I made her a sling out of a shirt, which I remembered from my days in the Cub Scouts.
Okay.
Yeah. And
did you also molest her?
God. Wow. Your scouting career,
I think you'll find that was Akela. And then she went up to minor injuries at 8 o'clock the next day as soon as it opened, and was in and out in an hour and a half.
Wow. Oh, that's like a hack.
I mean, yeah, if you can stick the pain through the night,
then
go to minor injuries.
When I had stomach problems, I would go to the emergency, and I'd be there so long that the pain would eventually subside after 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me tell you about this thing that really, I'll not tell you, but it's really, it's not boring, it's really fucking annoying. I went for a pizza with my mate, Jim. And Jim was feeling a bit down. I was going to take him out for lunch, so I went out for pizza. The guy delivered two pizzas to us, and I started eating my pizza, and there was a hair in it. And I was like going, one hair, who cares? Threw it away. Didn't worry me. And I was eating away, and then there was another hair in it. And I went, do you know what? Two hairs are my limit. So I said to the guy, he says, sorry, there's a hair. There's like, this is the second hair. First hair was fine. Two hairs. And he went, oh, I'm really sorry. He said, don't worry. Pizza's free. I went, great. Don't forget, I was intending to pay for this dinner for me and Jim. So he goes away, brings another pizza over, happily eat the pizza. Right, that's great. Jim goes, I'm going to the loo, and I'm all right then. And unbeknown to me, Jim went up and paid the bill, right? He went up and paid the bill for both pizzas. He came back and said, I paid for that bill. I went, what do you mean? He says, I paid for the pizzas. I went, well, first of all, I was going to pay for it. Second of all, mine was supposed to be fucking free. Fuck, I'm so furious.
But hold on. You didn't pay for it.
I know, but it was supposed to be free. And
It was free.
Yeah, but the one with the hair was free. I went, well, of course it was fucking, I'm not going to pay for the one with the hair. He said, when the guy came up and said, that pizza's free, he meant the pizza with the hair. And I went, no, but they don't go, oh, I'm sorry, your pizza with the hair has got the hair in it. I'll give you a free pizza, meaning that pizza with the hair, here's a pizza you've got to pay for. He meant the other pizza was going to be free, and I wouldn't have to pay for any.
But you didn't have to pay for anything anyway.
Well, yeah, I know, but he paid for it. But he paid for two pizzas when he should have paid for one. Anyway, I was really fucking annoyed. I can't believe you're coming down on his side. Fuck you.
Hold on. Does Jim have a side in this? He just paid for two pizzas That lunch went exactly as he expected it to.
It sounds like Jim's depression was well served by your fury.
Anyway, it was really annoying. What did you get in your cracker, John? Did you get anything in there? Fact or fiction?
Joke.
I
better threw it away.
It's always the best, man. Next year, John, the Hitman omnibus is out.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I don't think we have a date for that yet, though, do we?
No, I don't have a date, unfortunately. Yeah. As you get older and your career gets more towards its twilight, you start ending up realizing that everything you're promoting is shit you did 20 years ago. So, yes, indeed, I'm doing the Hitman Omnibus is coming out. Not that Hitman was shit. But, you know, it's coming out sometime next year.
And there's definitely...
Well, there's going to be two of them.
Any artist hopes...
one is enough for to collect it all, is it? No.
No, because there were 60 issues plus specials and...
I think there's like 70 issues in that Hellblazer one.
I know, but nobody wants that.
There was also the Demon issues and...
they're going to collect the whole Demon series?
No, not the whole series, just all the ones with Hitman. Fuck me, alarm's gone off. Fuck up! Jesus fucking... Me and technology.
Are you doing anything new for the Omnibus? Is there any...
New cover. Oh, very nice. And some other new stuff that doesn't involve me. Garth's doing an intro. I'm doing an intro. And there's going to be a lot of unseen artwork and stuff. Plus also black and white, you know, shot from the original artwork. Backup stuff. I've just been going through all my old... piles of Hitman and pulling out decent pages and scanning them, send them over to DC. So there's going to be a lot of that too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I was hoping we would get the Batman vomiting sequence from issue one of Hitman. It got edited strongly between originally the when Tommy spews on Batman. I had drawn Batman standing there like an idiot with a big pile of spew in his chest and carrots sticking out of it.
It'd be great if it was in the shape of the Batman logo.
Wouldn't it? Just like, you know. But I didn't think of that at the time. You know? Not that it would have mattered because goddamn edited it out. So I had to just show Batman and from the neck up.
Yeah, he's sort of looking down in disgust. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was hoping we could find the original page for that, but or at least a decent scan of it. But of course, I think I sold it way before having a computer.
So well, maybe you know. Put the call out there. Maybe we can get a scan.
Set up the vomit bat signal.
There you go. I've got a sneaking suspicion Kevin Smith might have bought it because he bought a whole crap load of Hitman stuff from the first three issues, I think.
Okay.
He's easy to find on the social medias. Like, I'm sure
it would have been a good week that.
For who?
When Kevin Smith, for you, when he bought all that stuff?
Yeah, well, it was back in the older days when comic art didn't go for so much. Yeah. But I still got a nice paycheck, and you know, so which is I can't argue with. But if I'd kept the pages, I'd got a whole lot more.
Of course.
But yeah, it'll be coming out sometime early next year. Then volume two comes out sometime early the following year.
Okay.
The hell that is, 2025.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because I never really read the first three or four paperbacks of it, and then it kind of went out of print around the time that I was reading it, and then I wasn't able to get hold of it, so I'll finally be able to read it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be I
bought them all on the Comixology. I think I had a sale on all of them at one point.
Is it still going?
No, it's not.
Oh.
How far out of the loop are you?
Oh, really out of the loop. So I remember Amazon bought them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then did they just Amazon bought them.
First thing they did was they kind of stopped purchases via the App Store. Or directly in the app.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So you couldn't buy them directly in the app. And now they've kind of shunted everyone to the Kindle app for reading comics.
Which is terrible.
Yeah, which is not great. And I mean, like, if you've got thousands upon thousands of comics in there, it's really hard to find anything.
Well, it used to be great. You used to be able to open up the Comixology app and search for John McCrae. And you'd find books that had where John McCrae was on there. Now, you can't find anything. They don't have it indexed by creator or publisher or anything. It's you've got to know basically the name of
so the app everything that I bought.
It'll all be there.
Yeah, but it's in.
Good luck finding it.
Yeah,
there's comics I've kind of got in there that I bought. I think the Planetary Omnibus was available for sale at one point.
I didn't buy that whenever it was on for sale and. Yeah. I regretted it because it was like $9.99 or something like that. It was really for nothing.
And it was on, and you can still get it, but it's not in the store anymore. So I can still download it
because I have it in my library.
But it's not actually there anymore. It doesn't exist anymore, I don't think. So I think there's probably a load of stuff like that. So I can't see it being long for this world. But
do you know what's? This is just a kind of loosely associated when stuff is removed from iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they recently removed Sorcerer from iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they?
Yes.
I think I bought that from
So
iTunes.
Did I.
So
but,
did I.
But I can still stream it and watch it, but it's not in the store.
You can't buy it anymore.
But you can't buy it.
It's still, in your library.
So
but,
they'll have rights to sell it for a certain period, and that's all.
Whoever
I do, I would have just assumed that it just disappeared from my... That they pluck it out of the air and I don't get
Paramount
to...
Paramount did as recently... PlayStation. Yeah, the PlayStation store had a bunch of Discovery documentaries and things on it.
Oh, yeah.
And they've stopped the license with Discovery, and so they're taking all of those things away. You're not going to... You can't watch them anymore on your PlayStation. You can't download them,
which is even worse.
I mean, I think it's really interesting. Do you remember way back whenever the I can't remember, it wasn't Brian K. Vaughan, whoever it was that did the free comics that you could download? They did these sort of landscape size Marco.
Panel Syndicate stuff.
One of the first things they did in that was about how the internet fell and people, and so everyone started being annoyed. And it's like, I can't remember reading it at the time thinking, well, I mean, that just doesn't make any sort of sense at all. But now you start seeing things on the internet are not working anymore. Like, the social media stuff doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't work for the people.
We're sort of on the brink of Google stopping working.
Yeah.
As it's starting to index answers that are being generated by AI.
Yeah.
And then that sort of gets self-recursive and those answers get fed back into the mix, and they're just not right answers.
I think
anymore.
They're starting to kill email, like Gmail accounts and stuff that haven't been accessed or haven't been used for a couple of years, starting to kind of delete
just
those off.
Entropy in the system.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of curious how that's going to, what people are going to do. I mean, I think digital comics hit a wall whenever Amazon bought Comixology, and instead of pouring money into making it better, and there was lots of things they could have done.
Yeah.
Loads of shit they could have done that would have made it better. I always felt that one of the most important things they could have done is made the library of stuff you've downloaded, make it easier to kind of play with it and organize things for yourself in it. And rather than just being a computer index of files, which is what it was, allow it to be a kind of stackable thing where you could put things you want together. And, you know, my library's so big, sometimes I'll just want to look at some Kevin Nolan artwork and it's like, how the fuck do I find that?
Yeah.
You know, it's not in the same spot.
But they're not interested in you experiencing what you enjoy. They want all these companies want to do is just silo off stuff for their own needs.
Well, I think Comixology wanted to do was make sure that another bookseller didn't buy, or Amazon make sure another bookseller didn't buy Comixology. And use that as a backdoor into books.
Yeah,
I think that's was after was a kind of, it's a way to kind of rudely cut that off and go, we don't care about comics. What we care about is what if somebody else buys that and then uses that as a way to sell books. Stop that dead. Just get rid of that. And much in the way that Facebook bought WhatsApp and bought Instagram, not because they thought we need this, more because they thought, well, they could become bigger than us. So let's bring them into the fold.
And now they all suck.
Now they all suck very hard.
Yeah.
That just means now you've got to go out and meet people, see people in the real world.
Well, I mean, my take on this has just been leaning very, very hard into physical media.
Yeah.
I'm buying more books than I can afford.
Your answer to most things is like, I would like to own it physically, please.
Yeah. Have you been buying more things?
There's been a lot of people saying that. Recently, just, you know, own the physical media. Get your DVDs or whatever the hell.
Get you lovely DVDs here, mate. Get them here. My Annette reads loads of books, and I bought her for Christmas a book subscription. Every month she'll get a book. And
does she get a choice in that matter?
No. You give them a list of the books that she likes, and then they'll send out a book. But her problem is always...
Oh, that's not bad.
Her problem is always that she reads so many books, she doesn't know what to read next.
Yeah.
This will deliver a book, hopefully, that she'll enjoy.
I read...
But it's more physical media, isn't it? It's more sort of... You couldn't do that in physical form.
In physical form, I read Michael Mann's Heat 2.
I had that read to me in audiobook form.
I also listened to it in audiobook form
as well. That was the most dramatic reading.
That man was doing his very best Al Pacino impression.
And I complained about it on Twitter, and then the guy responded to me.
The guy who read it, yes.
Wow.
Amazing.
He was very nice about
Ron's
it.
Ron's always stirring it up on Twitter.
I was complaining about the opening chapter, because he was reading it in a very sort of like almost like previously on Heat.
Yeah, it was.
For a good solid 12 minutes.
The reason that I got the book is because I got the audiobook on Audible and I listened to the first chapter and I don't think I can listen to a full like 19 or 20 hours of this. This is heavy going.
This is exhausting.
But after that opening chapter,
he mellows out.
He mellows out. Yeah. And he said that to me in the tweet. He's like, it's just the opening chapter. Trust me, I changed style after that.
I wonder if this...
You could have gone back and read...
And just let them... Yeah.
I think it is his thing was he was trying to kind of read it in a, again, like a sort of previously on Heat. And then he went through this whole sort of recap of what happened in the movie.
Yeah. Huh.
And then he changed into a almost completely different tack.
Yeah. It's a very good book.
It is, yeah. I'm very curious to see if they actually do make it. Because,
well, he says it's the next thing that he's making.
He's 83 or something. you know, there's ambition. And
yeah.
Michael Mann's 83.
I think he's 83. He's maybe even older.
Based on the picture on the back of the dust jacket on the book, he looks fucking great for 83.
Yeah, you can pick what picture goes there.
Yeah.
That's when he was a teenager.
But he's just got the Ferrari moving coming out. Like, I think any
I think he should go back and do a sequel to The Keep. That's well, what I want to see.
I think the one would probably have a different...
The one with James Gandolfini?
No, it's the...
It's the one with Ian McKellen. The 80s,
yeah.
In it, a very bad Ian McKellen in it.
He's 80.
He's 80?
Yeah.
He's old enough.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe we should just go back and remake The Keep. But because Ian McKellen's in it, and he's a young man playing an older man. He's got makeup and stuff on him to make him look really old. And he should just play that role again.
I realised the other day that I'm now older than what's his name in The Exorcist?
What, the wee girl?
No. I can't believe I forgot the name of the actor for The Exorcist.
Oh, the priest?
Yeah.
He was in Judge Dredd as well, that one.
Yes.
I've forgotten his name too. We're all rubbish.
But John looks like him, so that's...
But do I? What, the wee girl?
More from The Seventh Seal, whenever he's bargaining on the beach with the devil.
Right, okay.
But what is his name? I can't remember his name.
Zarkov, he plays Ming the Merciless as well, doesn't he?
Yes, why can't I remember his name?
Who is this guy?
I don't look at all like Ming the Merciless.
I am shocked. I mean,
you look like Ming the Merciless and the devil. It's, you know, it's a compliment.
Yeah, you're going to have to Google it, because I don't think I can progress any further.
I was at an event a couple of weeks ago, Ron, that I expected to see you at, and you weren't there. Unless...
Max von Sydow.
Max von Sydow.
Oh, Max von Sydow. Of course it is Max von Sydow, yeah.
Yeah, he was like 43 whenever he made The Exorcist.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that man just never looked young.
He was very lucky, because he's got a layer
of latex on his
head. Yeah, that's true. I was at an event.
Why do you want to go grey so quick?
If I'm going to go, I want it to be overnight.
Like you've been scared by
over 60 swingers parties you kept out of. Yeah.
it's the transitional stage you're not enjoying, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So what was the event you were at?
So the event that I was at, I went to a screening of the remastered Raging Bull. With a Q&A afterwards with Thelma Schoonmaker.
Yes. I really tried to get tickets for that. Really, really tried.
You should have. Why didn't you text me?
Well,
we haven't seen each other for a long time.
I didn't think you had an in there. I'm sorry.
You frequently don't reply to emails.
That's true.
One time.
One time you didn't reply.
One
time you replied to an
the
email.
Reason, the reason,
what, was it good?
It was brilliant. Oh. The reason that I bring it up is because... I didn't realize that she was there to talk about Pyle and Pressburger.
Was that what she was? Oh God!
Yes, right, okay. Yeah. Not to rub it in.
You're really gonna
not to rub it in. But I hurt your feelings, because I'd never seen Raging Bull before, and I don't understand.
Screening of the Red Shoes coming on.
It's tonight.
Oh, is it tonight? Oh, yeah. Shit!
I've seen it.
Yeah, okay. But it's the remastered. The new 4K remaster, yeah, that the BFI are doing. So I didn't realize that Thelma was married to Michael Pyle.
Yeah, that's how she met Scorsese.
Yes, that is how she met Scorsese. Yeah. So I went. I'd never seen Raging Bull before. So I had assumed that she was going to be talking about that. But then she opened with like a little, oh, we're going to watch Raging Bull. But the reason that we're showing Raging Bull is because it was Scorsese's attempt to make the Red Shoes. Mm-hmm. He never didn't like boxing, wasn't interested in boxing at all, but thought that he could maybe make it a bit Red Shoes. Make it a bit Red Shoes-esque and kind of get in and get in that way.
Red gloves.
But they decided to shoot it all in black and white, so who knows?
Someone should have told him.
But yeah, she talked a lot about all of the Paul and press.
How long did she talk for?
Probably 45 minutes. Yeah. And the guy that was interviewing her, I can't remember his name. He's an English guy who is a Paul and Pressburger scholar.
Right.
And they've known each other for decades. So it was like a very free-flowing kind of conversation about all of that sort of stuff.
It went on sale at something like 9 o'clock, and by like 9:15, it was
sold. Yeah, it sold out straight away.
Yeah, I know. I've actually been trying not to think about it.
Oh no.
She was the very very sweet.
She's got to be close to retiring now.
Woman, I mean, she's 83. She is 83 actually. Yeah.
But she just edited the Killers of the Flower Moon. She just edited it as well.
I know, but it was like a fucking 3 hours and 40 minutes or something. Three and a half hours.
Yeah, if I were an editor and I had to edit that film, I'd need to do that on the toilet. I do not think I could get through that whole film editing it without, I don't know,
piss. That's not how editing works. You don't sit there watching the entire film every time.
You know, how does editing work?
Like, I want to change this shot back to the start.
I'm going to ask you one of the questions on this card because it's amazing.
Okay.
Right? This is an amazing. Would you rather?
This is the conversation starter? Okay.
No, it's conversation starters, and then there's a would you rather. So okay. I presume they all have a would you rather. Would you rather make a phone call or send a text?
When did you buy these crackers?
In the 1970s. What's really weird is like it would have cost this. These are cheap crackers. These are dirt cheap crackers. But it wouldn't have cost any more to make those more interesting questions. Like, it literally wouldn't have changed the material.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Anyway, that was a good little.
And anybody seen anything good this year?
I went to see Die Hard at the cinema last night.
Was that good?
Where was that? Here?
In Belfast. Yeah. Oh, it's still showing on the 15th and 16th. Oh. It's at the Castle Court Cinema.
Okay. Oh, the Avenue? Avenue. Yeah.
It's a nice cinema.
See, the thing about the Avenue is if I was going to see a film that I loved and had already seen, I'd consider going to the Avenue because you have the food and the luxury of like all that. I don't want to see something new for the first time in that environment, but as a treat for something that I really love, I'd go to the Avenue.
Oh, it was cracking.
Yeah.
I've never been to the Avenue before, and I was like,
Was
that right? It's brand new, about six months maybe.
Good Lord, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was terrific. Yeah, was really good fun.
I'm a bit annoyed that we're not getting on the, as we're recording this last the night, Abyss? The Abyss was released for one night only with James Cameron's 4K, his 4K remaster of The Abyss.
And he's only putting that out once and that's it?
One night.
What? Yeah. And no cinemas over here.
Just to put it out for one.
It's coming to, it's 4K Blu-ray in March.
Okay.
So it'll be out. And then I think True Lies was remastered.
True Lies, The Abyss, Aliens, and both Avatars are getting two new special editions.
Already?
For the thing, yeah.
Avatar's a weird one because it seems to do.
Oh, and Titanic.
I can't think of anyone who's ever seen
Avatar.
It. Do you?
Yeah.
I really loved the second one as well.
Big blue men with machine guns. What's not the like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
God. I really, really did like it in the cinema.
The problem with Avatar, and I think there's a lot of other films like this now, that they've reached the point where they can make the films I imagine playing with toys in my head, and they can make those now. But there's a part of me going, "Yeah, I played with those toys. I want those films to surprise me in some different way, not to kind of deliver the exact thing I was playing with when I was 10."
Yeah, well, I would say that the thing about the criticism I would have of Avatar is that it's not a new story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a story that has been.
You can say that about loads of films.
That's true. It is, absolutely, yeah.
John, you were a huge fan of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes, I was.
Did you go and see Beyond the Spider-Verse?
I did, yeah.
And
yeah,
did you
yeah.
like it as much as...
It, not quite, no. I thought the animation and design and everything was top flight. the emotional sort of hit of it wasn't quite
there. Do you think
there.
That's because it's a half it's of gonna a film. Pay off in the next part?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, but yes, I honestly went into that movie not realizing it was a to be continued.
Oh, you're one of the ones. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I really was. Yeah, I did sort of go, that. What?
Yeah.
So that might not have helped.
And by all accounts,
I don't understand. Well,
I mean,
by all accounts, the part two is not going to be here for quite some time.
That's what I hear.
Mm, it was supposed to, like, whenever the first part was out, they were like, oh, March next year, it's going to be March and March. And then as they got into the summer, they're like, we haven't, some of the animators were like, we haven't started yet.
Yeah, well, they had lots of reasons.
And as Paul found out, animation is quite difficult.
It's a lot harder than
it's a lot more time consuming than you realize.
Especially when you do it, there's more than one line.
Do you think that the impact of the second one is less because you've seen what they can do with that first movie and I definitely felt that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why they went to those other worlds.
It's not that it's lessened so much as the first one blew me away because it was so different.
Yeah.
I went back and saw it like three times. I was completely...
Oh, well, we're still in that world. You know, you don't get that shock in the face thing. I think Matrix was the same. The first film came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Second film was like, well, we've seen that world now. So now the surprises are slightly lessened because of it.
Plus it's a bit shit.
But yeah. But it was still good fun. I mean, it's still a good film to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still a great film. I really enjoyed it. And some of the, like you said, the worlds, like the India world was...
Oh, the India world was fantastic. Yeah, and the watercolor, the Spider Ghost Gwen's watercolor world was like...
The expectations that's going to place on drawing comics.
There was a... Daredevil comic that was all... there was a Daredevil comic that was all done in watercolor.
Three-part, the Echo one, I think?
Yes. Which is all done in that very similar style. It's beautiful. Beautiful book.
Let's pull a cracker.
I'm trying to think of other films. Has anybody seen Godzilla Minus One yet?
No, I'm going on Monday.
God, I'm so excited.
I can't wait. I'm going to see it in Screen X.
That one didn't even bang.
What is Screen X?
So Screen X, the Cineworld in Belfast have three different types of screens. They've got the regular screen, they've got the IMAX, they've got Screen X, and they've 4DX.
Is Screen X owned by Elon Musk?
It's not owned by Elon Musk, thankfully.
If you walk in, it explodes.
Yeah, it just sets on fire.
So the 4DX is the one where the seats move.
Okay.
And it squirts water at you and there's smells and wind and all that kind of stuff. And I went to see the Marvels with my son there a couple of weeks ago.
Marvel's good?
I really enjoyed the Marvels. I really enjoyed it. It's really good fun. If you can't have a really good time watching the cat sequence in that film, then I don't think cinema's for you. I just don't think cinemas maybe is not something for you.
And as much as I can see, it seemed to be put in just to annoy right wing wankers. The singing planet was
the singing planet.
That was my favorite part.
Oh, I loved it.
Superb.
Loved it.
You know, I was just like, yeah, this is great, and yes,
yeah.
It suffers for me from the I'll wait for this to come up in Disney Plus.
There is part of that, and I also think that there is a little bit of they're relying on carrying some of the fan base from the TV shows,
I enjoyed the
TV shows as well. But like Ralphie hadn't seen like Miss Marvel, and so there was a bit. I don't think they kind of folded that all into it, and I don't think the villain was particularly well developed.
No, she was a bit dull.
But overall, I think like it's a solid movie, and it does not deserve to tank the way that it seems to have been tagging. I think
it's had a lot of tough times.
Yeah.
The writer's strike and not being able to promote
And I think there's people who are just flat out refusing to see it reasons.
Yeah.
They've got all that
stuff. That's so exhausting.
Screen X is big screen in front of you.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Then one screen, full screen on either wall.
What?
So films have started shooting specifically for Screen X, like the new Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Uh-huh.
They would shoot the New York cityscape as Spider-Man is swinging through the city. They'd shoot the left and right sides. So whenever he goes into that mode, you get kind of surrounded by this New York cityscape. I first seen it, I went to see the Batman, the Robert Pattinson.
Oh, yeah.
And the car chase sequence, and when he's on top of the Gotham kind of the building where he meets Catwoman, and that just opens up into this huge kind of Gotham vista.
Yeah,
it's incredible. And Cineworld are doing a Godzilla Minus One night of it in Screen X.
One night?
just in ScreenX, I think so. And then, wow. But it's going to fall.
On YTP, Schemes will come out dressed as Godzilla.
Yes. Oh, the lads on the YTP Schemes. It's been a while for them.
Yeah. So, I am very, very excited to see it because I haven't seen Shin Godzilla yet, and I've heard very good things. Yeah, I've heard very good things about it.
It's a really funny movie.
Yeah.
About just Japanese bureaucracy.
Yes,
and
yes.
And they just can't get it together, like get a plan to deal with Godzilla, and they're going to have more meetings and more, you know.
Because I've been really enjoying, like...
transplant that to the UK and just...
Yeah.
Because it is very much a universal pandemic story. It's we need to get this sorted out. Let's book another meeting.
But it was pre-pandemic. It was 2016. Yeah, like, exactly. they just saw it. They saw it all coming. Because I'm really enjoying... I really enjoyed Kong versus Godzilla, and I'm enjoying Monarch on Apple TV.
Have you seen the trailer for Kong X Godzilla?
Yes.
That looks so fun.
Yeah, I know.
What are they kissing?
Look. If only, John. If only.
That's only all it was.
No, it is bonkers. Kong's got a big cyber gauntlet on.
Yeah,
he's
got a big metal just, fist.
It's full on. Like,
and there's an orangutan from...
Well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
there's a little baby Kong.
There's a baby Kong, but he's fighting like an orangutan.
He's not called Gods...
Godzuki.
Godzuki?
Kong.
Kongzuki. Oh, God. Kid Kong.
So, like, I'm having a blast with all of that kind of monster stuff at the minute. I'm just really enjoying it.
They quietly managed to make a decent sort of monster-verse.
Yeah, which nobody expected.
With no real fanfare.
Yeah. Because Skull Island snuck in under the radar.
Monarch TV show.
So I've yet to watch the Godzilla versus Kong, and I'm sort of watching them all.
Oh, you're waiting. Watching them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I've heard it's very, very good.
I don't think it matters.
Well, it doesn't, because the Monarch TV show takes place just after the first Godzilla.
Okay.
So it kind of falls into that, like, holy crap, what just happened? We're still in the kind of recovery period of what they call G-Day.
G'day?
G'day, mate.
But it also flashes back.
Big blizzard?
It also flashes back.
It's a bloody big croc.
Just flashing back, and has Kurt Russell playing the older version and Wyatt Russell, his son, playing the younger version. And like just post.
It's quite inspired, that.
It is. And there's a transition in, I think, episode 3 that transitions between the two timelines that I was just like, oh, you got to take your hat off to that. Because when you go between, it's like a little kind of dissolve thing between you. When you go between, they're like, they are just the absolute double. Like, it's just great.
What are you looking forward to next year? One thing.
Next year?
Yeah. I'm trying to wrap up the show so we can go for curry.
I was trying to think, could they do a similar blend between Wyatt Russell and Goldie Hawn?
I mean, she is there. Like, you can, you know.
You see it in his face?
Yeah. Right, what am I looking forward to?
He's an odd-looking guy.
He is odd, isn't he?
When he was Captain America or whatever.
Or the other one.
He's half Snake Plissken, half Private Benjamin. He's half Snake Plissken, half Private Benjamin.
Yeah, it's an odd combo, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, I like them as the knockoff Captain America because he did look like a knockoff Captain America.
He really did.
Yeah.
It's like, is he handsome? I can't tell.
He didn't look at.
It's like a wish Captain America kind of thing.
I know what I'm looking forward to next year.
Yes.
I should have seen it this year.
What's that?
June Part 2.
I'm nonplussed.
What?
Couldn't care less.
I watched the first one and I was like, this is the most po-faced, self-serious nonsense that I've sat through in a long time, and I'll sit through some serious po-faced nonsense. I couldn't care less.
Well, what are you looking forward to then?
Have you anything?
Nothing that I'm on the horizon that's really exciting me. I mean, I haven't seen the trailer yet for Furiosa.
Oh,
have you not? The trailer's a curious beast. I'm not sure if I like the trailer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Fury Road. I really did love Fury Road.
It's terrific.
Fury was an odd one. I'm not 100% sure about it.
Well, we'll see.
The new Band of Brothers series?
Oh, yeah.
Masters of the Air.
Masters
of the Air. That's what I'm looking
for. PJ, your World War II is just...
Well, let me tell you, I nearly did a commando this year. Commando.
Really?
I was offered a commando comic.
It's probably a better way of saying that.
I was waiting for you to step in.
I was offered a commando comic, and I said yes, and then I started doing it, and I went, this is a fuckload of work for not a lot of money, and I went, I can't do a commando comic.
Is it just like two panels a page?
It's two panels
a page. But there's lots of pages.
But there's 63 pages, and every panel is just as much work as, like, a, you know, every panel has got research in it, so you're sort of digging in and doing research.
Well, yeah. See, I imagine Master of the Air is going to be, it's catnip for Garth, and he'll be sitting there with this book writing down, wrong.
Yes, you're exactly
it's like
right.
7 out of 10.
dear God.
Have you anything particularly looking forward to, John? Any media, any worky things that you wish for?
Well, yeah, things? Yeah, I'm looking forward to Dead Eyes actually coming out, please Christ, next year. That's hopefully next year, you know, just from a selfish me perspective.
Yeah. I wouldn't understand that outlook.
No, I know you don't, Paul, not at all. I thought I'd just take over from you for a second. And film-wise, yeah, I mean, Furusa, I was... Dead, or however you pronounce it, I was looking forward to. I have no idea what the film landscape is next year.
It almost seems like an awful lot of films that I've been waiting for kind of happened this year.
Yeah.
And the things that were kind of been held back after COVID and things that are kind of have been sort of a bit long in the waiting have finally arrived, and now it seems like I don't know what's really on the landscape.
And plus there's a lot of stuff that's been delayed and a lot of stuff that's been...
What's really ruined it for me is Apple have deleted their trailers app, so you can't even watch bloody trailers on the Apple store.
They still had the trailers app?
I mean, it was weird because it
was one guy looking at it every day.
PJ.
And then most of the trailers were the sort of things that you'd go into a video store and right at the back of the really dodgy movies would be. And you know, things that were funded by Christian organisations and stuff.
Yeah.
Those kind of films, all about people being left behind. But they've removed the app and they've kind of gone... All your trailers are now on the Apple TV, but none of them are on the Apple TV app, the TV Plus app. They're not there. So I don't know what's coming.
Take it up with Tim.
Oh, no. I'm quite looking forward to that. The new Nicolas Cage movie where he is...
Dream Scenario?
Dream Scenario?
Yeah.
It's been gone for the cinema.
It's been gone, yeah. It was it was out for the last couple of weeks, but I think it's gone now.
Anything like that gets... A fortnight in the cinema at best now.
Yeah.
And then
I've heard very, very good things.
It'll appear in a streaming service within about a week or so after that.
Yeah.
It's crazy how fast the cycle is for these things.
I've been enjoying going to see all the re-releases. I got to see Christine for the first time after the 4K remaster of Christine, which I'd never seen before.
Yeah. You'd never seen Christine?
No, I'd never seen Christine before, and I loved it. Loved it.
There's a lot of films I think I've seen... Because you've seen bits of them, and then you've seen all the cultural stuff of them, and you've seen half the plot.
All the memes.
And you've seen half the plot in the Simpsons episodes. And, and you think you know what it is, and then you sit down, you watch it, and you know, like a few years ago, I watched The Graduate for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
It's brilliant. And it's really like, brilliant. I thought, well, I've seen The Graduate. I must have seen The Graduate. And you start watching it.
Well, at last, the Holden review's in.
Anyway. Maybe we should do another podcast next year.
Meet John, are you free next year?
Yeah, I'm going to pop over for a podcast, yeah.
Well, I think we'll probably have to wrap it up because we've got dinner booked.
Look, you nearly got an hour. What do you want? It's short, sharp, chop, shock, short, sharp, sharp, sharp.
Well, no, it's been great to see you all, and it's been lovely to see John.
So. Oh, well, that's a lie. I'm going
to... Now we're going to go and get food. Now I'm going to have place a bet to see how much gets stuck in Scott's beard.
Oh. Well, and with that lovely image in your mind, we'll bid you adieu.
Yes. So,
good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
See you.
I didn't even crack all my crackers.